We are returning today again to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we are in a portion of Scripture that I believe is so important that I wanted to spend a little bit more time at the end of chapter 5 and verse 14. And if you listened to last week's sermon about lazy listening and considered with me as we looked at the text some of the consequences of lazy listening and how to be a diligent listener. If you listen to that sermon and maybe your response was something like the response of the man in Mark 9 he brought his son to Jesus. His son was convulsing and possessed and the crowd is swarming and Jesus marvels at all of the unbelief around him. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And you remember the response of the father to Jesus with tears. He said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And if that describes something of your response, when you think about how you've been listening, if your listening can be described as diligent listening, if you have responded something similar to the Father, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Well, I trust that the Word of God will have some encouragement for you today. And really, that's what I want to do is to, before moving on into chapter 6, and we'll get there eventually, to give you some further encouragement to diligent listening. It's important enough, you remember it's in a context that is serious enough that I think it's worth us spending today drawing out some encouragements for ourselves from the Word of God, encouragements to diligent listening. If you'll look again at the end of chapter 5 and verse 11, speaking of Melchizedek, the writer says, of whom we have much to say, it's going to be hard to explain, he says, because you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we've seen already the problem of lazy listening becoming apparent in those who were listening to this letter. The writer perceives that in them. So their dull listening, their dull hearing, their lazy listening has resulted in a state of immaturity for them. They are more like babies. But the problem is that they're not young babies, which would be perfectly fine. The problem is that they're old babies. And they should be at a point where they would be able to receive this teaching about Melchizedek. But the writer says, before talking about Melchizedek, he says, this is going to be hard. Not because I don't understand it, but because you are in this position of weakness. And you have no excuse for it. You've not been listening to the Word of God attentively. You have not been putting your mental faculties into the proper practice. You've not been using your senses, he says, as you should have been. You would be normally at a place, he says, you would be able to discern. You'd be able to separate out good doctrine from bad doctrine. You'd be able to receive these things from the Word of God, these things you need for your encouragement. But as it is, you're still at this state where, within this condition that all you can, you're still at this point where all you can digest is milk. And it has left you weak and vulnerable. So it's a big problem. Especially in the context of endurance. If they're going to endure, and if we're going to endure, we need to be able to have our souls nourished with all of the doctrines of God's Word. Otherwise, perseverance is going to be a difficult thing, more difficult than it should be. So, what are we going to do? We need to be encouraged ourselves for diligent listening. So if you listen to that, and if you found it to be very convicting to think about what it's saying here, and then you put yourself under its light. Well, the Word of God has much encouragement for us to put ourselves to this diligent listening of exercising our mental faculties, that is, having our senses exercised by reason of use. There are encouragements for us. And the first encouragement, let me just define again what diligent listening is. And let me give you a little bit more detail on this, because if this is going to be our goal, then we need to know what it is we're aiming at. If we want to aim at diligent listening, then we ought to know what it is that we ought to be striving for, especially on a Lord's Day morning and a Lord's Day afternoon when we gather for the preaching of God's Word. You ought to be thinking about this also on a Wednesday night when we come to hear teaching from God's Word. What is it that we're to be aiming at? So let's be sure about that. Look again at verse 14. It's through habit. Through constant use and practice, they are to exercise the faculty of their minds. There is this mental exercise that they are to be engaged in and that we are to be engaged in. There is to be this mental workout. Diligent listening involves a mental exercise, a mental workout. Now, let me give you some help from something that Paul told Timothy in his second letter to Timothy. Now, this is just a beginning point. This is sort of a foundation that we have to stand on in our diligent listening. There's many other things we could say about exercising our minds, but for today, just think about it in terms of this foundational scripture that we have that describes the scripture. And this will give you help in as you think about, how do I exercise my mind on the Lord's Day? How do I, by reason of use, exercise my senses as I listen to the Word? Well, remember what Paul told Timothy when he said, or was describing to Timothy, how Scripture is profitable. Now, this is, I think, a very excellent place for us to begin when we come to hearing God's Word. Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is, all of it. It doesn't matter where the preacher is on a particular morning. Paul says, all of it is given by inspiration of God. It is literally breathed out by Him. And it is profitable. So the diligent listener comes to the preaching of God's Word looking for the profitability of Scripture. The diligent listener says, I need the benefit of God's Word. I need to be profited today. My soul needs to be profited today in hearing the Word of God. So that's the first attitude, if you will. The diligent listener brings that attitude of seeking the profitability of Scripture. Now, Paul goes on because he gives these four descriptions of how the Word of God is profitable. He says it's profitable for doctrine. So the diligent listener comes and says, perhaps with this prayer, Lord, show me the teaching from Your Word today. The diligent listener is humble because the diligent listener recognizes that if I'm going to be a diligent listener, then I need to recognize that I have this problem called ignorance. And I need my ignorance dealt with. There are things that I don't know, and the things that I don't know as well as I should know. There are things that the Scripture will teach me. The Scripture contains and is profitable for doctrine. So the diligent listener comes listening for that kind of a thing. This is a way that you can exercise your mind. I am listening for the doctrines of God's Word. Paul then says to Timothy that all Scripture is profitable for reproof. That means it benefits us by rebuking us. It tells us what we ought not be doing. It shows us where we are wrong. To use the language from the book of Hebrews, it's this sword that lays open even the deep things, the deepest things of our souls, to expose them and to show us how we are sinning, how we are breaking God's law. The Scripture is profitable for reproof. So the diligent listener comes to the preaching of God's Word with this kind of an anticipation. Lord, I know that Your Word is profitable for rebuke. Lord, help me. Humble me today. Help me to hear it. Because all of Your Scripture is profitable for it. I know it's going to be there. It's going to be there somewhere. Help me to hear it. Lord, help me to receive it. Here is the exercising of the mental faculties that a diligent listener does. You're on the edge of your seat, straining your ear for the doctrine of God's Word and for the rebuke that it will bring. It's also profitable, Paul says to Timothy, it's profitable for correction. So if reproof says what we are not to be doing, correction is setting us back upright again. That's what that word means. Setting us back upright again, showing us what we ought to be doing. And the profitability of Scripture then is for instruction or training for righteousness. The Scripture is profitable in teaching us proper habits of behavior. So this doctrine and this rebuking and this correction is applied to our lives in terms of, very practically, in terms of our thinking and our behavior. We need to exercise our minds regularly in these terms. Here's how you can come diligently. You're thinking to yourself, you want to make your mind ready, and you're being very very prayerful about these things. Lord, help me to hear these things from Your Word. So you see that diligent listening is a very active kind of an exercising of your mind, where you're putting your ears to these kinds of things, waiting for them, listening for them, exercising your mind. It's like any other workout where you would be targeting specific muscles of your body. Target these particular benefits of the Scripture in your mental exercising. The doctrine and the reproof and the correction and the training or the instruction in righteousness. Well, here is what we're doing here is getting at a definition of diligent listening. Now, there's a lot more we could say. If you begin to look in the Scripture for encouragements for listening, if you begin to look, you'll find it everywhere. So this is just one thing to consider. Now, if you say to yourself, I agree with that. I agree that I should be exercising my mind and being attentive in these particular things, but it's hard to do. That's hard work. Well, consider what we've already seen from verse 14. What if this is hard for you to do? Well, I think the Word of God would say this to us. Practice it. Practice it. If it's hard the first time, don't give up. Practice it. I think this kind of mental exercise is going to be like other things that we have to learn and practice in life. Okay? Think about the job that you do, and think about the first day that you ever showed up on that job. Okay? It was difficult. The learning curve was steep, but you came back the second day. And you learned a little bit more, and it went a little better. And then, you know, two years down the road, you're really doing so much better. And 5 years down the road, it takes this practice. And I think that there's that very practical aspect, because we're creatures. We have to learn to do this. Mental exercising is going to be something, if we're going to be doing it well, it's going to happen through, notice what the Scripture tells us, by reason of use. By reason of use. So if you say to yourself, I agree, but it's hard and I'm struggling with this, we'll struggle today with it. And then come back next Lord's Day and struggle again with it. And put it to use and practice it. And I think that that over time that it will become more of a habit with you. Think about these things. Now, I want to add another part to this definition, because we must be careful to not think that this kind of mental exercising is just simply to take in information. We're not just simply taking information. It is information. But we're not just simply taking in information for the sake of being able to check off a list of boxes. Okay, now I know this and now I know this. We have to approach this doctrine and the rebuking, the correcting, the training in righteousness. We need to approach it worshipfully, humbly and submissively. There ought to be not just an anticipation of these things, but there ought to be within us a worshipful anticipation of these things. This is what diligent listening is to the Word of God. You remember from, I read from Proverbs chapter 2 last week. I'll just listen again to the description. Here is a worshipful anticipation of the profitability of God's Word. Here it is. My son, if you will if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, here's the consequence, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There is a worshipful anticipation of the benefits of the Word of God. There is a worshipful anticipation. Here is a listening that anticipates the best of treasures. Here is that kind of diligent listening that seeks after God's Word as you would seek after the best of silver. What profit is more rich than the profitability of God's Word? What is it that you are expecting when you come here on a Sunday? What is it that you are expecting? Train your mind. By reason of use, put your mind to these kinds of treasures that Paul lists out for Timothy. Here's the silver. Here's the gold. Doctrine and rebuke and correction and training for righteousness. Seek those things. Incline your ear to these things, and then you will find the knowledge of God, Solomon promises his son. What is it that you expect? A diligent listener expects the best of treasures. A church that expects nothing will usually get what it is expecting. Spurgeon preached a sermon, and he said this, or he wrote this, he said, speaking of sermon expectations, he said this, when a congregation expects nothing, it generally finds nothing, even in the best of preachers. But when they come prepared to make much of what they hear, they usually get what they came for. They usually get what they came for. A diligent listener has purposely, diligently shaped his or her expectations according to what the Word of God tells us that we ought to expect. Here is a picture of diligent listening. Well, that itself is an encouragement, but I have now, it ought to be an encouragement to us. But I want to list for you now four encouragements from God's Word. If that is the aim, if that's the goal that we're aiming at, exercising our mind in those particular things, well, we need to be encouraged to do that. We need to be strengthened to do that because that's hard work. Well, consider these things. I think these will encourage you. These will strengthen you to do that hard work and to stay at it and to practice it. First encouragement to you. We need to practice diligent listening, humbly mindful of the consequences of lazy listening. This is sort of a negative. We need to practice diligent listening, humbly mindful of the consequences of lazy listening. Now, I'm making that the first one because it is emphasized in our context here. And it has been emphasized, especially in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book that we're studying. We have to be careful of the tendency within ourselves to deny the relationship of action and consequence. And I mentioned this briefly last week. You have to be sensitive to that within yourself, of how easy it is to deny action and consequence. The example of the Old Testament, the wilderness disobedience, I think it serves as a great example of people who were denying action and consequence. They serve to us as an example of people who thought they could engage in the action of ignoring God's Word or despising it and still anticipating God's blessings. And we have to be careful of that tendency within ourselves. It's a very easy kind of tendency. We need to be sensitive to it. We're being warned here at the end of chapter 5 not to be presumptuous. You have been lazy in your listening, and here are the consequences. I think it's being pointed out because they thought perhaps they could be lazy in their listening and not suffer immaturity and not suffer vulnerability. We need to be sensitive to that within ourselves. We have to be sensitive to how easy it is to think, sinfully, that we can unrepentantly ignore God's Word and grow in grace. That's spiritual foolishness. We will not grow in grace. We will end up in a position where we can only take in milk, and that would be the best case scenario. We must be wise. Because lazy listening will result in immaturity. That's an encouragement to us to exercise our minds, thinking about what is the consequence of not doing it. And immaturity means that you have, by your own choice, to not practice the habit of engaging your thinking, to put yourself in a position where you are unable to take in all of the nourishment of God's Word. Here's a consequence. We have to consider the consequence that if we don't engage our minds regularly, so it's the habit of our thinking, we know that the consequence spoken of in God's Word is this consequence of weakness, unable to discern good doctrine from bad. It has this consequence of vulnerability. We will be vulnerable if we do not engage our minds in diligent listening. We'll be vulnerable to not only being misled by others, but we will then be vulnerable to discouragement. And we'll be more vulnerable to loss of peace, and we'll be more vulnerable to loss of assurance. Think about what Paul said to the Philippians when he says, "Be anxious for nothing." And he follows with instruction on how not to be anxious. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So he says, be prayerful about it. And then he says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy." What are we supposed to do with those things? Meditate on these things, Paul says. Put your mind to these things. Exercise your mental faculty in taking in truth and the things that are noble and the things that are just and the things that are pure and the things that are lovely. Put your mind on these things, Paul says. Exercise your thinking. Put your mind on the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do. And what's the consequence, Paul says to the Philippians? And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Spiritual immaturity for the listeners of this letter here has definitely left some of them in this weak and vulnerable condition. But the book of Hebrews has already taught us that even worse things can come. If unrepented of, if lazy listening is not repented of, the fruit will grow even more bitter and even more dangerous. For we've already seen at the beginning of chapter 2, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest what? Lest we drift away. The fruit can become very, very bitter and very, very dangerous if lazy listening is not repented of. Again, from chapter 3 of this book, here is an example of unrepentant drifting. Here is an example of unrepentant dullness of hearing. For who, having heard, they did hear. There were some things that they understood that God was revealing. Who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? They mixed their hearing with rebellion against the message. And here is the unrepentant part of it. Now, with whom was he angry? 40 years. This is not a description of the soul who comes on a Sunday morning to the preaching of God's Word and struggles and then comes back the next Lord's Day and prayerful, Lord, I'm struggling with my hearing. Help me to hear. That's not what's being described here. For 40 years, people mix their hearing with rebellion. It's this unrepentant part of it. They persisted for 40 years, some of them, with hard hearts against what they were hearing. So put the whole picture together now in terms of this negative consequence, which is moving us and it's spurring us to diligent listening. There is this point. By the time we get to the end of chapter 5, the point has already been made here in the book. From the wilderness example of disobedience, unrepentant, lazy listening will bear more than just the bad fruit of missing out on some of the doctrines of God's Word. It also bears this, that if a person unrepentantly, hard-heartedly remains unwilling to humbly engage the mind and the thinking to God's Word, they ultimately prove that they are really just rebels. And unrepentant rebels, as we saw in chapter 3, do not enter into God's rest. Unrepentant rebels who harden their hearts against God's Word ultimately prove that they are rebels and will not enter His rest. And unrepentant rebels, though they may initially taste some good things from God's Word, they eventually manifest their sluggishness in outright rejection of even the basic things that they came to understand initially. And that's going to be the point made in chapter 6. So, dear saints, understand it in this way. Putting your foot on that path does not necessarily mean that you're not a true believer. It is the unrepentant travelers of that path who end up falling away. So the writer is not saying to us or to them that any of his listeners are definitely going to fall away. That he's not saying that. He is giving them the warning to not be presumptuous. He's giving them the warning not to be presumptuous. So I'm emphasizing here at this point, and because I believe the Scripture is emphasizing the unrepentant nature of those who fell in the wilderness. Because if you look at yourself, and you think of this description of diligent listening, and you see, and you're willing to admit that you have not been listening as you should have been, and you see within yourself that this is a struggle, and you see this battle that goes on within your own soul, you want to listen, and you don't listen like you should. And it's within your heart to listen, and you're hungry, and you can see that it's still such a struggle. Well, I would say that that's actually a good sign. That there, at least there's this struggle. There is this striving within your soul. Because the true Christian walking with Christ, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, are described as being in a battle. Paul said that so much to the Galatians. In the context of the fruits of the Spirit, he said, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. He's saying this to believers. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And Paul described himself as a believer, as an apostle of Christ, as being engaged in this internal battle of soul that happens only with believers, because now we have the Spirit. This is not the kind of battle that we see in the unregenerate. It's a battle that we see within those who now have the Spirit of God. There is now this new conflict that rages within us. Paul said, describing himself, "For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." He hates it now. There's evidence of the working of the Spirit of God in his life. He hates it, but he still struggles with it. Again, he says, "I find a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good." The fact that he wills to do good is evidence that he's regenerate. But he still struggles with this law of evil that remains, this law of corruption that remains within him. And so Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Well, we ought to make his answer our answer. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin." So, dear saints, if you see within yourself this struggle, that can be summarized in this way: "Lord, I want to hear, but I'm not listening like I should. Lord, I desire to be diligent. I'm convinced from your word. I love your law. I love your word. Lord, help me. Help me." Well, I would say to you, if you perceive that struggle within yourself, do not grow weary and dismayed, because you see in yourself that diligent listening is hard. That it's like fighting a battle with yourself. Don't grow discouraged because you see that. The fact that you're even struggling and striving and wanting to battle for your mind, I think, is evidence of the working of the Spirit in your life. And this battle to serve God and how you listen to His Word, do not give up. Do not give up. Our Lord Jesus Christ was heard by his Father. Do not give up. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the author of an eternal salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ will deliver us from this body of death and from this corruption which plagues our listening. Do not grow weary and do not give up. Practice diligent listening, humbly mindful of the warnings, confidently depending on the merits of your Savior. Here's your first encouragement. Let's practice diligent listening, humbly mindful of the consequences of lazy listening. But here's a second encouragement for you today. Practice diligent listening because the preaching of God's Word is God's Word to us. Practice diligent listening because the preaching of God's Word is God's Word to us. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing." Now, why was Paul so thankful? Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. What is preaching truly? If it's the preaching of God's Word, what is it truly? Paul says to them, it truly is the Word of God to you. And you received it and were thankful. Paul then would later write to the Corinthians and he said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." How did the treasure come to the Corinthians? How did the treasure come to the Thessalonians? How has the treasure come to anybody? It has come contained in earthen vessels. The preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God to us. That ought to make us think about how diligent we are in attending, putting our mental faculties to the preaching of God's Word. It comes to us in earthen vessels. Now, you know what this is? You know what Paul's not saying? He's not saying that this is a command to worship the preacher. This is not a command to worship the pastor. This is not saying that your pastors are sinless and speak perfectly in the pulpit. We do not. We are not sinless in our speech. We're weak in our speech. And there may be things we say that are incorrect. We are not perfect in our speaking. It's not a command to not listen with discernment, though the doctrine is taught to us in the Scripture. The sermon is God's Word to you as far as the preacher speaks in agreement with the Scripture. Again, Spurgeon preached a sermon in 1868. The title of the sermon was "Heedful Hearing," in which he said, "Not everything that I say or that any minister says is God's word. Hence, you should take heed to separate between what is God's and what is ours. But wherein we speak according to Holy Scripture, it is as much God's word as if God himself spoke." We have to listen to the preaching of God's Word, because this is the way that God's Word comes to us. You know, this point has already been made in the book of Hebrews. Look back in chapter 4 and verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Well, how did they get the gospel? It's by preaching. It came to them by preaching. But what did they do with the preaching that they had? What do we learn from the old wilderness example of disobedience? What did they do with the preaching that they heard? They hardened their hearts. And you know what it means? You know what the equation that's made in chapter 3 and chapter 4? They hardened their hearts against the preaching, and that is equated with hardening their hearts against the voice of God. Chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The hardening of their hearts was a hardening against God Himself. Again, chapter 3, verse 15, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. They were listening to the preaching of the gospel, yes, in its shadowy form. But it was gospel preaching, the Bible tells us. Hardening your heart against gospel preaching is not hearing His voice. To not receive the preaching of the Scripture, consider the Old Testament example. To not receive the preaching of the Scripture is to not receive His voice. Now, how do they soothe themselves? Did they try to soothe themselves in the wilderness? I'm sure they did. We have evidence in the Old Testament that they did this very thing. But they tried to soothe themselves and soothe their souls by saying that they were only rejecting Moses. But what does the book of Hebrews tell us? They were hardening their hearts against God's voice by hardening their hearts against what Moses was preaching. This ought to be an encouragement to us to diligent listening. That gospel preaching is God's word to us. You cannot soothe your soul by saying, if you reject gospel preaching, that you're only rejecting a preacher. We must be diligent. The biblical description of that is that we're hardening our hearts against His voice. Calvin, in his Institutes, makes a very helpful observation on this very point of how we deal with or respond to the preachers that God sends to us. Calvin says this: those who think that the authority of the doctrine is impaired by the insignificance of the men who are called to teach betray their ingratitude. For among the many noble endowments with which God has adorned the human race, one of the most remarkable is that He deigns to consecrate the mouths and tongues of men to His service, making His own voice to be heard in them. And then he gives this application to that: wherefore, let us not on our part decline obediently to embrace the doctrine of salvation delivered by His command and mouth. Because although the power of God is not confined to external means, He has, however, confined us to His ordinary method of teaching, which method, when fanatics refuse to observe, they entangle themselves in many fatal snares. And we have an example of that, do we not? From the wilderness disobedience. Behold how they entangled themselves in many fatal snares because they would not listen to the preaching of Moses. Preaching is God's ordinary means to bring the gospel that saves and to bring the gospel that brings hope for endurance. Consider another example. Let me show you this real quick from the book, from the opening chapter of Colossians. The preaching of God's word brings the gospel that saves, and it's the preaching of God's word that brings the gospel that gives hope for endurance. Colossians chapter 1. Again, verse 3. Again, Paul is expressing thankfulness. Colossians 1, verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Well, how in the world is it possible that in this backwater town called Colossae that there were believers who had faith in Christ? How is that possible? Verse 5, because the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, it came to them because they heard it. And we would ask, well, how did they hear it? It has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Well, who is Epaphras? We don't know anything about Epaphras except that he came and he was a preacher and he preached the gospel to the folks in Colossae. How is it that the word of God came to the town of Colossae? Christ in his incarnation never set foot in the town. And as far as we can tell, probably, very likely, the Apostle Paul himself never set foot in that town. But yet the word of God came. And it came by the preaching of a man named Epaphras. And they believed. The preaching by Epaphras, a man who was weak, a man who was frail, a man who was sinful. But when he preached the word of God, it was the word of God to them. And they believed. And not just for belief, but for endurance. Look later in chapter 1. Here, chapter 1 and verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Listen carefully. If indeed you continue in the faith, endurance, Perseverance. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you, what? Heard. The preaching of the Word of God was the Word of God to them. It brought to them the gospel that saves. It brought to them the gospel that gives hope for endurance. So let us practice diligent listening. Edge of our seat, mental, exercising, worshipful, anticipatory listening. Because as far as the preacher brings the Word of God to us, it's the Word of God to us for salvation and for hope for endurance. Here's the third encouragement. And by the way, I hope that'll move you to pray for the preacher. I'm as clay as clay gets. I hope that you'll pray for me. Pray for all who teach us. Pray for the preacher. Pray that God would bless with good meditations. Here's the third encouragement. Let us practice diligent listening. Practice diligent listening for the sake of your church. Practice diligent listening for the sake of your church. When you think of Psalm 1, there's another example of action and consequence. Think about the righteous man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. There's diligent listening. Delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating in it day and night. There's diligence. There's attentiveness. There's a good worshipful mental exercising in the Word of God. And what is the consequence? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What is the consequence of this one who is diligently attending to the Word of God? Stability of soul, bearing of fruit, endurance, the leaf never withers. Consequences of blessing, his life is described in terms of prospering. His life is one that's described in terms of progress and success and profitability. Now, do you ever think about these good consequences corporately? The consequence for our church. That our church would enjoy stability and bearing of fruit and endurance and prospering. Do you ever think of those consequences corporately? Listen diligently for the sake of your church. Let me draw this encouragement from the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Here's a picture of a healthy church. Chapter 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That is, here, Christ gives gifts to His church. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, He ascended, what does it mean? But that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, and that he might fill all things. And He Himself, here are the gifts. Christ Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What do all of those gifts, there's something all those gifts have in common. They all have this in common. They all preach God's Word. They all proclaim the Word. Now, what is the consequence of Christ giving these gifts to His church? Notice carefully the consequences here. Till we all come, or for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There is this corporate consequence to Christ giving gifts of the proclamation of His Word to His church. And what happens then when the saints attend themselves with diligence to the Word brought to us by the men who have these gifts? Well, here are the consequences. There is the edifying of the body of Christ. Here, look at verse 13. Maturity. There's maturity in the church. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're all together corporately as a church growing up in Christ as we attend ourselves diligently to the word that the pastors and teachers bring to us. Look at verse 14. We're saved from this dangerous, vulnerable immaturity, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. What is the result of the preaching of God's word in a church? There's maturity. There's growing up in Christ. There's maturing in the knowledge of God. There's protection from the bad winds of bad doctrine. There's growth of the body. Well, here it is. Here's biblical church growth. Christ gives His gifts. Men use their gifts to proclaim the Word. All of us together attend ourselves diligently to that Word of God that's preached. And what do we have? We have here a picture of what a healthy church looks like. Growing and maturing. There's edification. There's strengthening. There's growing up in Christ when the saints are equipped by the Word. So you're listening to the Word of God. I want you to think about it not just in individual terms, but think about it in corporate terms. It has an effect on all of us. I've said this before. I think it's worth repeating that your personal sanctification is not strictly a personal matter. It affects all of us. It affects all of us. How you individually are doing this work of exercising your mind has an effect upon the growth of the church. Now, why do I say that your work individually has an effect upon us corporately? Well, because of what Paul here says in this very context. Here, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Notice carefully what he says. By what every joint supplies. By what every joint supplies. According to the effect of working by which, notice, every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What do you think? Now, there's a lot of things here that would follow in terms of what is the stuff that we're doing that's our share to do. But does it not begin with each one of us doing our part in attending ourselves to the word that's been brought to us by the prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers? What else is going to happen? Putting away lying, loving one another, walking in the light, all of these parts that we're to be doing, how is that even going to happen if we've not first done our part in attending ourselves diligently to the preaching of God's word brought to us in clay vessels? So you see, there's a corporate aspect to releasing. I hope this is an encouragement to you. When you come on a Lord's Day morning to diligently put your mind to these specific exercises, worshipfully anticipating the doctrine and the reproof and the correction and the training for righteousness, I hope that you'll think not just in terms of the progress of your own soul, but you'll think in terms of the progress of us as a church. Your good listening strengthens all of us. Because, you know, good listening or bad listening ultimately is going to manifest itself. Your listening will be an encouragement and it'll be a strength to the saints. Or your lazy listening and your lack of it, that also will have an effect upon your church. It's foolish to think that we can be lazy in our listening and not suffer the consequences. I hope that you'll think corporately about your diligent listening. Well, let me conclude today with a fourth and final encouragement. There's lots of them in the Scripture. Let us practice diligent listening because this is treasure. Let us practice diligent listening because this is treasure. It is, remember what Paul told the Corinthians, it is treasure that has come to us in earthen vessels. I want you to listen to how Paul describes the treasure. This is, I'll just read it for you. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves. That wouldn't be much treasure, would it? We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. There it is. So that we can say not just what or ask what is the treasure. We can ask who is the treasure that is brought to us in these earthen vessels. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Listen to the description of the treasure. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what comes to us in the preaching of the gospel. Think about it. Think about it. Why is it we should seek after these things like gold and silver and incline our hearts to it and incline our ears to it? Here's an encouragement. Here's what it is. Here it is that we come to receive when we come to listen to the Word of God. God shining in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure that we have in earthen vessels. In time past, the people were given the knowledge of the glory of God. And it was given to them at various times, and it was given to them in various ways. And you know what it was to them? It was treasure. But in these last days, God has commanded light to shine out of darkness and has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, not in various ways, but in the face of Jesus Christ. Do we treasure that? We have treasure. That ought to be an encouragement to us. Though it's hard work, consider what it is that we're inclining our ear to. This is the best of treasure. We have the Word of God brought to us in the face of Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of the glory of God. How we ought to be on the edge of our seats, worshipfully anticipating the Word of God brought to us. In time past, the people were given the knowledge of the glory of God by a word spoken through angels. You know what that was to them? It was treasure. Now, God in these last days has given us a word revealed by Him whom the angels bow before in worship. It's treasure. It was treasure to them. How much more is it to us? How much more do we have? And with what more diligence ought we to seek this treasure? We gather to listen to the full and unshadowed Word of God revealed in Him who is the express image of the character of God. We gather to partake of the profitability of the Word of God revealed in Him who upholds all things by the Word of His power. How we ought to incline our ears and incline our hearts. We gather to behold the glory of God as we are able in this life in the face of Him. Isn't it amazing to think who took upon flesh and blood like His brethren? We come, and this is the treasure that we're receiving, that there is this Savior who through the power of death has destroyed the devil. This is treasure that we have, that we come to listen to a gospel that speaks to us that a great high priest has been given to us. A great high priest who has offered himself, and he cried out with vehement cries, and his Father heard him. He is received by his Father. How much more ought we to receive the treasure that comes to us? How much more ought we to be diligently listening to this gospel of hope and this gospel of salvation that's been brought to us? What hope we have that has been revealed in the face of Jesus Christ? Let us be diligent, because we have treasure.